Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast, where you can hear the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs, sharing the latest news, and giving us all the gossip on life in Music City and beyond. I'm Baylen Leonard, and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. Listen on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right, let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Stephen Wilson Jr., as I live and breathe, welcome back.
Good to be here, Baylen.
It's always a joy when you're back, and I'm so glad that you're back for State Fair.
Yes,
that's exciting. Have you been to an actual state fair? You must have been.
Oh, yeah. The Jackson County State Fair was like kind of an annual pilgrimage. You go out and look at the mullets and the tank tops.
Yeah.
Some are netted, some are not.
Lots of food on sticks.
Yeah, lots of food on sticks. Very bad for you. Like about 4,000 calories per stick.
Yeah. I don't know if there'll be any food on sticks at State Fair. They do have it looks like a rousing barbecue section, though.
Oh, really?
At State Fair
barbecue
Festival.
Barbecue here.
Yeah, barbecue here. They got lots of barbecue happening at State Fair.
All right. Well,
hopefully in between your, you know, watching Kings of Leon and doing your own set and all the rest of it, you can go and get yourself some barbecue.
I will do that. I will definitely be watching their set.
The Kings of Leon, aren't they preacher's kids?
Yes, they are. We are actually kind of grew up in the same scene. I grew up around a lot of Pentecostal UPC kids.
Yes.
A lot of the Holy Roland, everything but the snakes.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before because my grandfather, a Church of God preacher.
Yeah.
So that's what the Holy Roland tongue speaking.
Yeah, I know the Church of God folks too.
We both came up in religion, but not the like, religion is lovely and isn't it joyful. It's more the damnation side of religion.
Yeah, the fire and brimstone. I spent my whole childhood thinking the world was going to end any week.
Me too.
It was a weird, it was like my family used to ask me what I was going to be when I grew up, and I always thought it was a trick question. I was like, but you're telling me that the world's going to end this week, but you're also asking me what I'm going to be when I grow up. I spent my whole childhood thinking I wasn't going to grow up. I thought
the world was going to end. Literally did as well. And I remember very specifically being at my grandparents' house once. And there was some reason, the world was always ending, but there was something specific about a date. And I can't remember why this date had become the day that the world was going to end. And I remember it was that day, and I was at my grandparents' house, and I was sitting on a wood pile out behind my grandparents' house, like literally with my hand in my head, thinking, well, here it is. And then I remember having a moment where I thought, I'll tell you what, if the world does not end today, I gotta let this go. Because my entire youth had been this anxiety about the world ending and me going to hell and all of these things that we were taught in the religion that we grew up in. And I just sat there on that woodpile and I thought, well, if it doesn't end today, then enough. I've had it. And it was a real turning point for me because the world didn't end. And then the next day I was like, well, I don't know when it's going to end, but I can't spend my whole life worried about it.
Yeah, and here we are.
And here we are.
Absolutely still here.
We are absolutely still here.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly took me a long time to reconcile a lot of that thinking, but it also helped explain a lot of behavior, you know, and it kind of at least explains why maybe some folks pollute rivers and pollute the air and just kind of treat the world like it's expendable because maybe in their mind it is. Mm-hmm. If it's all going to burn and like someday soon anyway, like, but I think you know, that kind of apocalyptic thinking is very dangerous for a world that continues to keep sustaining itself and a civilization that keeps on going.
Yeah, the world keeps spinning.
Yeah, and we keep going. So I think, you know, maybe letting that mindset go and maybe embrace a future that is perhaps the antithesis of that could be more productive.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. When I heard the song Preacher's Kid, like that hit home. It was such a, because we always said, and you must have said this as well, I don't know if you say it in the UK, but Preacher's Kids are the worst.
Yeah, PKs.
They're the absolute worst.
We call them PKs.
PKs, the worst.
Yeah.
And so this song is kind of about that, where the Preacher's Kid doesn't give a damn about Jesus or you.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be more true.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's based off three true stories. You know, I knew a lot of PKs growing up, and, you know, it was just a natural inspiration that, you know, it's very, explains, it says a lot about me without saying anything about me. It kind of tells you, that's, you know, my favorite songs are biographical but not specific. Mm-hmm. And it tells you a lot about, you know, kind of where, you know, where the Kings of Leon guys come from too. You know, it's, it says a lot about that world. But, you know, I'm also not like indicting every PK out there, because there was a lot of great ones. But in some way, I'm trying to enlighten, you know, maybe the weight that they have on them from birth to kind of live in the shadow of their preacher father. And maybe their father was doing the same thing, and, you know, the cycle kind of continues.
That's like, true. It is a huge weight on them. I mean,
yeah, it's an unfair weight. And I also like acknowledging that part of it as well. Like,
yeah, because they're expected to be so pious and these examples of, like, you know, perfect children. And that's a lot to have on your shoulders.
Yeah, like, if anything, it's kind of like giving them a break by, like, also, like, just stating the obvious.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun to play too.
I love it. And it also rocks.
Oh, thank you. It makes the Christians squirm a little bit. So,
well, lots does.
Yeah,
lots does.
So that's what I'm here for, to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed.
I see you got Gary on your shirt there. We love Gary. I can't get enough of that song. We've been playing it since it came out, and it's just so. Producer Adam loves it. Everybody loves it. And what one of the things I love about it, aside from it as a song, is that it just, when you play it in amongst other things, it just makes everybody sit up and take notice a little bit. Right. You know, like, I sometimes think that radio can be quite passive listening, which is great. Like, we're companionship. You're cooking your dinner, you're driving to wherever you're going, and we're just the soundtrack to your life, and I love that. But I like every now and again a song that, no matter what you're doing, it makes you go, And I think that Gary does that.
Oh, well, thank you. That's what Forrest Gump does to me when I'm walking through the living room. If I see Forrest Gump on TV, I just sit down and start watching Forrest Gump. No matter what I'm doing, I could be in the middle of mowing my grass. I just come in and get a glass of water, and now I'm watching Forrest Gump.
I'm like that with Jurassic Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
If I don't care what I'm doing, if it's on, if it's got 5 minutes left, if it's got 2 hours left, boom, I'm down.
Well, that's what I'm hoping Gary kind of is the sonic version of that, because it's a linear storyline. It kind of, it's hard to just kind of jump into that song, and, you know, there's a history that it goes down from start to finish, and you know, it's very much also like every song I've written and released based on a true story. I was driving down a highway and I saw a memorial for a young boy named Gary L. Russell III, who probably was 16 maybe, a very young boy that had perished on that highway in a car accident. And it just broke my heart on a huge level. And, you know, grief is love that's got no place to go. I have that in another song. So I could see the love that this family had for the grief they had for this boy, and it was represented in this sign. And I couldn't help but say out loud that, you know, there ain't a lot of boys named Gary these days. And the song just kind of literally wrote itself as I was driving around. I wrote it in about 30 minutes. But it's also, you know, subconsciously very inspired by the Body Shop and the characters, as I call them, that I grew up with. Because there was literal and metaphorical Garys that could fix just about anything. And I really tried to unpack that character, because, you know, even though on the surface they come across as quite simple, I found that there was a lot more layers underneath them, because they're fixers, because the world is broken. The world has been broken since the day they were born, and they got good at fixing things because they noticed the broken. And not all of us notice the broken. They just walk by it and hope somebody else will fix it someday. And the Garys wouldn't let that slide, and they became fixers of everything because of a broken world. And I think that's art in a nutshell, is a broken world. And I think those fixers deserve to be recognized, especially in an era where technology seems to be moving at an aggressive pace. You know, but at the same time, parallel to that, we're still running on conventional plumbing. I see guys out there digging up pipes in the ground, and there's combustion engines and septic tanks back where I grow up. And when life hits the fan, I don't believe AI will show up and fix your plumbing, but I do believe a guy will, and if his name is Gary,
even better.
You're probably in pretty good shape. And,
I love the song even more now.
That's the gospel of Gary.
The gospel of Gary. Now, see, that's a religion I can get behind.
Yeah. Well, I think
the fixers.
Know, they deserve to be celebrated. I think we celebrate a lot of people that fix nothing.
That's true. And yeah, or that break things.
Yeah. If anything, they just add to the noise. And Gary's always been a quiet fella. So I appreciate that about him.
We like Gary.
Yeah.
More Garys.
Thank you, Gary Much.
Be more. Thank you, Gary Much. I was at CMA Awards in November, and you were nominated, and you were performing. You did a few performances, and your kind of big moment in the sun, when a lot of people would have stepped out, and a lot of people had, stepped out with fire cannons and confetti and dancers and lasers and all the rest of it, which, by the way, I'm also fine with and mm-hmm. enjoy. But you just stepped out with your guitar, and not only did you just step out with your guitar, but you didn't even do one of your own songs. You did a cover of Stand By Me, and it was, and genuinely I've said this to loads of people, like the most special moment I've ever witnessed at those awards. There was some moment in the middle of it where people just started standing up. Like, did you notice this when you were doing it? In the crowd, A, you could hear a pin drop. And I actually have chills now just thinking about it. You could hear a pin drop. And then at some point in the middle of it, people just started standing up all over that arena. So that it was like a religious experience. It was the closest thing that I've experienced to church other than church. And it even supersedes that for me. What a special moment that was. Why did you choose to do that? And what was it like for you?
I chose to do that moment. And, well, I mean, it was me and the producer. And there was a discussion had about it. And he had heard me play that song. And he also knew the history behind it. So it was an easy choice for me to make. Because when my dad died, he kind of started this whole thing. I put out this record called Son of Dad. It's kind of a sonic monument to just kind of attempt to immortalize my dad. I refused to accept that he was gone. And that record is basically my protest. And but I was playing this song, Stand By Me, in my living room. And I played it just like that. And it would, in the weirdest way, it would bring me closer to him, bring me closer to God. And right after he died, I played that song at a songwriting festival because I was not an artist before he died. I was just a songwriter writing songs for other people. And when he died, I guess that person that was just a songwriter died with him. And like 2 weeks after, I sang that song just that way at this songwriting festival. And in that room, which had maybe like a couple thousand people, it created like what you just explained, like a revival. It was a religious experience for me and I think for them. And at that point, I was an artist. It was like there was nothing to argue anymore. It was just time to get to work. And I just started playing shows and started putting together, you know, the sonic monument for my dad. And whilst doing all that, I was always playing this cover around and it would just kind of bring him closer to me. And I went on to this podcast called Live at the Print Shop and played it and it changed my life. It went like viral and the song was everywhere. So I think, you know, the producer saw that and maybe felt He was extremely moved by that performance, and I think a lot of people were. And so that's why that song was chosen. And, you know, my dad showed up that day. That's the only way I can explain it. Like, all I wanted to do, I did not want to hit the notes. I didn't want to play it perfectly. I just wanted to get him in the room, and I think he showed up. Because I really don't remember the experience. Mm. I still have not watched it. Mm. I have no clue what really went down. I've heard people like you explain it. But I have not seen it, and I don't want to see it. Mm. At least not yet. I'm not ready to see it. It's almost like revisiting my dad's funeral in a lot of ways. It was very much a huge release.
Mm.
He showed up, and I think I blacked out for a good reason. It was like survivalistic. I think if I'd have been there for that moment, it would have just destroyed me.
Mm.
So I was able to kind of just, I don't know, shut off. I remember Michael from the Warren Treaty was just like a burning fire in the audience. It's all I remember is that. And then I got off stage, and the first person I saw was Billy Ray Cyrus. and he was like, "Hey, brother." And I was just like, "Billy Ray Cyrus?" I literally felt like I went to heaven and high-fived my dad in the weirdest way. And I just kind of came back down. And there was Billy Ray Cyrus.
Who's not un-Jesus looking.
No, yeah. And so
it could be a lot to deal with in that moment.
Yeah, and I didn't know what had happened. And, you know, like, am I dead?
Are you Jesus? Yeah, are you Billy Ray Jesus?
Yeah, exactly. And Elizabeth Hurley was there too. And
oh, God. Like, what is happening? A fever dream you're having.
Yeah, I'm like, and then, you know, I kind of snapped into it. And I was, you know, the head of our label, Seth England, a dear friend of mine as well, and big believer in me, came running up to me and, he's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Was it any good? I don't know." Like, and he just was like, "Yeah, buddy, it was really good."
It was really good.
He basically said, "Buckle up."
More than your dad showed up that day.
Yeah,
I can say that from a personal experience. So thank you for that.
Of course, it was a. I've bookmarked that moment, and I knew it. You know, before it was going to happen in the weirdest way. I don't know why I had this crazy, like, anxiety for, like, the whole week leading up to it. You know, one, I'm kind of a nervous person anyways. Mm. And I'd never played an arena by myself on national TV, so there was that component. But, like, you know, my first stage was a boxing ring. I used to box and... You know, no matter how crazy those stages are, nothing will compare to fighting another grown man in front of people. Like, that's like the ultimate.
Like, chances are you're not going to lose a tooth at the CMA
Awards.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm not going to die in that ramp. Yeah. Like, so, you know, as far as those nerves go, I don't get that crazy nervous about it. But what freaked me out is I knew there was going to be a day, a life before that and a life after it. And I didn't know what that was going to be. And that's... kind of what it's come down to. There was that day and that moment will be forever kind of bookmarked in the book of my life. There are the pages before it and whatever pages follow.
Well, it was certainly a highlight for me to witness.
Oh, thank you, Baylen.
It was amazing. Always a joy to see you. Thank you for coming in to see us.
Thank you.
State Fair Festival tonight, and then you're coming back later on in the year as well in
Come
October.
See us, please. I'd love to see you all again. The UK is near and dear to my heart. This was the first place I ever went on tour. My first fans I ever made as an artist were right here in the UK. My first tour ever was supporting this incredible band and humans called Brothers Osborne.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought me over here. I had one song out. I had 2,000 followers, and I had no reason to be on anybody's tour, but they believed in me when very few people did, and along with my team, and we came over here and made our very first fans, and it all started here, and I always very much look forward to that homecoming, so...
October 15th, Belfast, and then you're doing Glasgow, you're doing London, Bristol, and Manchester. That finishes up on the 25th of October, but we'll be talking about that lots before then. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We'll live in the moment of State Fair right now. Great to see you, Stephen.
Funnel cakes for life.
Funnel cakes for life. Maybe a funnel cake tattoo.
FCFL.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.